Why don't you learn Italian, for God's sakes, and make life easier? All right. Prosecution disclaimer, right? The specification can be a source of prosecution disclaimer. Repeatedly disparaging things using the present invention, we'll see, can cause some issues there. Prosecution disclaimer, of course, is the analog for literal infringement to prosecution history estoppel for the doctrine of equivalence, right? And I got told by Judge Rader in Chicago last week that prosecution disclaimer was actually around longer than prosecution history estoppel. And I just have to accept the Chief Judge's comment on that. I think he got it backwards, but don't tell him. Negative claim limitations, where you can say absent something. I'm going to show you a couple of cases as to how you prove or don't prove that the prior art discloses a negative claim limitation. And if we survive to the end of all of this, we may spend a bit of time talking about PTAB notice of their positions on claim construction under Title V of the Administrative Procedures Act. Everybody in the room knows that PTAB post-grant proceedings are governed by Title V of the Administrative Procedures Act, right? And everybody's looking at me and wondering why I've gone bobblehead. Everybody knows that, yeah? Well, the board sometimes seems to forget it, and we're gonna see a couple of instances of that. And then last but not least, if we don't run out of time, or I run out of breath, or you get bored to hell, we're gonna talk about what happens with respect to Section 285, which of course is how the attorney's fees get sent out, when you don't listen to the court's Markman construction and you try to go off on a frolic and detour. Now, in part, what I'm also going to do is I'm gonna spend a little time talking about my two favorite writers of opinions in our space. Now, Judge Albright will be on the list, but not quite yet. He's creeping up, but not on top of the list. Chief Judge Gilstrap, and then Judge Andrews from Delaware. I don't know how many of you have ever appeared in front of Judge Andrews and knows who he is. He was a former prosecutor for most of his career. And he writes these very interesting opinions that are all in the first person. I did this, I found that. And he is quite an interesting writer. So we'll talk about some of the things that he's done. I will admit that I'm bad. You're going to see the PowerPoints. They are on the website. They're not in your bundle. And that's because now that I'm not big law anymore, it's interesting because I don't have all these armies of people that help me do things. I got to do it all myself. Or I have to ask my wife. Not wanting to get divorced, even though I don't live in a community property state like Texas is, I have tried not to ask my wife. End result is, these are horribly jury unfriendly PowerPoints. I would never show any of these to a jury because they got too many damn words on them. But I'm gonna show them to you. Why? Because you can sit down and read the deck without having to try to remember what I was saying at the time. You don't have to take any notes or anything along those lines. Okay, rock and roll. Timing of claim construction. When do you have to do a claim construction? If you're not in a district court that's got patent rules, right, so you know when you're gonna have to do the Markman construction, you may not know when you have to do the Markman construction if you don't look at the law. Now, a couple of different flavors of cases. 101, right, Alice, the thing we all love to hate. Lots of times you try to take a case out on a 12C motion to dismiss, and often the trial court will do that without a formal claim construction. My Mail Limited, recent Federal Circuit case in which the circuit said, well, you can certainly use 12C motions for 101, but only where there's no factual allegation, which if taken as true, might prevent resolving the eligibility question as a matter of law. That's Autrix that they're relying on. That's one of the two Federal Circuit decisions that said you can have a fact issue that would complicate the claims and bar using it under 101. So the my mail point was, if someone raises that question in response to you bringing a 101 motion before there's been claim construction, the district court either has to adopt the non-moving party's constructions or resolve the dispute to whatever extent is necessary to conduct the 101 analysis. Are most of the 101 cases still being decided without claim construction? You think? In view of my mail, that I don't think is going to be something that is just going to happen automatically. All right, early summary judgment motions. Most trial judges don't like early summary judgment motions unless you've got one hell of a story. In East Texas, on occasion, and I've done it and survived, you can get a judicial officer to look at an early summary judgment motion. But remember, again, the question is the claim construction. And the court may say, okay, I can handle it as part of the summary judgment motion. But remember, all courts reserve the right to revisit their claim construction rulings if a previously undisclosed argument comes to light about the impact of a particular claim construction on dispositive issues in the case, which would, of course, be an early summary judgment motion. So you got to remember that. Failure to state a claim, a 12B6 motion. IBDB Ventures, that's out of East Texas, okay? In that case, the court denied the motion because the defendant's claim construction arguments were premature. They made an argument. Court looked at it and said, nah, I'm just not comfortable with doing this. The defendant's argument depends on a claim construction issue that's not as clear-cut as the defendant suggests and cannot be resolved based on the limited showing made in the motions to dismiss.